I selected the hymn that we've just sung to begin to point us toward heaven, because that is what our text is going to do as well this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Would you please give careful attention as I read this? This is the word of the Lord. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So ends the reading of God's word. Let us bow in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, would you be merciful to us now as we turn to your word and seek to understand the meaning of this passage that we've just read. Father, we pray, help us to see its importance for our lives. Help us especially to put on the behavior it calls us to. Would you give us grace by your Spirit now to illumine our hearts and minds and to teach us? Would you give to your servant the strength, the authority to preach this word from you? Our God, we will bless you and thank you. Would you please hear us now in Jesus' name? Amen. You may be seated. Now remember, last week we were looking at what Jesus told us about fasting. Fasting, as you'll recall, since it is an act of righteousness, is also the duty of every Christian, again, inasmuch as God gives you the ability to do that. As a matter of fact, Jesus here, as we notice, does not really even command us to fast, but simply assumes that we will fast, as he also assumes that we will give money to relieve the suffering of the poor, and that we will pray. Now, the reason why he doesn't command us to fast, or to fast every so often, is that this, like giving money to the poor and giving ourselves to prayer, depends upon the circumstances of our lives as to how often we do it or when we do it. The Lord could really not write down in his word that I want you to give to the poor 100 times. I want you to pray every so often, or let's say 1,000 times in your life. Or I want you to fast 300 times. The number of times that we do these things has to do with many different things. And for the most part, these things will be different for every one of us here. But what Jesus did point out is that when we do this, when we perform these acts of righteousness, when we fulfill these duties, we are to do them secretly. He doesn't want us to do them so that others can see and so that others can watch, but rather to do them so that only God sees. And when God sees us in secret, he will reward us openly. But Jesus also tells us this morning of another benefit that will be ours if we perform these three duties. Another blessing which will help us to honor and glorify our Lord. And the more we practice them, the more we will have this benefit. And that benefit is that as we do these things, our hearts will be separated more and more from the world and attached more and more to heaven. Now think about this for a minute. When you give your money to the poor, what are you doing? You are taking a little bit of your worldly possessions and you are giving them to help somebody who may be in need. Now, it's true that when we do this, some of us may simply be looking at the need And there's nothing wrong with that. God calls us to have compassion and love for people who are hurting and people who have needs. But if this is all we look at when we do this duty, then we're not doing it as we should. We're giving for the wrong reasons. Remember, the Lord wants us to give to Him. He wants us to give as an act of love to Him. And the Bible says that when we actually do this unto the Lord, that we are giving to God. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 19:17, "He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and He will repay him for his good deed." And you see, when we do it in this way, we are actually separating ourselves from the world somewhat, and we are doing what Jesus is talking about in our passage this morning, which is laying up treasures in heaven. When we pray, we are doing the same thing. We are taking some of the precious time the Lord gives to us and devoting that time to seeking the Lord, seeking His will, seeking to further His kingdom in this world. And when we do that, this tends to detach our hearts from the world and again place them on the things above, place them in heaven. And so the same thing is true with fasting. When we fast and we do this unto the Lord and we couple this fasting with prayer, it tends to weaken our flesh, not only our physical bodies, but also the sin within us, which also has a tendency to take our affections off of the world and to place them on the Lord who is in heaven. And this is what Jesus is actually doing now in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. He is drawing our attention to the fact that this is what we need to do. We need to direct our hearts completely towards Him and not allow them to be captured by the things of the world. He says you cannot serve two masters. Well, the first thing Jesus does here is to warn us against loving material possessions. He says at the beginning of verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth." And at the beginning of verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that this is not a suggestion by Jesus. Rather, this is a command. And I realize that today most people don't like to hear commands. We kind of shrink back from those things. We have an anti-authoritarian kind of an attitude. In our generation, authority is looked down upon. Most people don't want to serve. They want to be served. They don't like having people in authority over them because they don't like people to tell them what to do. Now, if you want a classic illustration of this as being a part of the very root of human nature, just take a look at your children, especially young ones. Young children, what is it they want to do? They want to do what everybody else wants to do. They want to do what they want to do. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to listen to their parents. It's a part of the sinful nature that we come into this world with. And parents, if you don't take the time to discipline your children, to require them to submit to you and to render obedience to you, you will find that as they grow up, that they will not respect any kind of authority. That's the kind of generation that we live in. One which is rejecting those authority structures ordained by the Lord. Everybody wants to do their own thing. But we must remember that when Christ calls us to do something, if we rebel against any of His commandments, that is not acceptable. That is sin. We cannot refuse to submit to Christ and still rightly call Him our Lord. He may be Lord well enough, but He won't be our Lord if we rebel against Him. The Bible says that if Christ is not our Lord, neither will He be our Savior. We must submit to Him. This is why Jesus tells us that we must put our flesh to death. We must pick up our crosses daily and follow after Him if we are to be His disciples. We can't run our own show. We must submit to the Lord and follow Him where He leads if we are ever to enter into heaven. Now, Jesus has been given all authority and all power over His kingdom, authority that He expects us as His people to respect and to submit to. We must therefore then listen to what He has to say and give heed to His words. His words are truth, and they are life for us because they point out to us the way of life. Now listen to what Jesus commands. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth." And what Jesus is saying here is not that you can't have any earthly possessions, because He realizes that you need them. As a matter of fact, He gives them to you. He's the one who gives to you what you have. But what He is saying here is that you must not have any treasures on earth. And that's a much stronger word than possession, isn't it? A possession is one thing. I can take something and I can use it for God's glory. I can take something and use it the way that God means for it to be used. But a treasure, that's something different. A treasure is something I hold on to. A treasure is something that I value greatly. It's something that has hold of my affections and my heart. Jesus says, "Don't make any object in this world a treasure that you love in your hearts." You know, in the Greek, Jesus is even more specific. He actually tells His disciples here and tells us, this is what you're already doing. Stop it. Stop laying up your treasures upon the earth. Now, you know, Jesus knows us all too well, doesn't He? He knows our hearts. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that because of our sin, that we are far too likely to become attached to the things of the world. He knows that we are far too likely to spend our lives striving to gain these things that are in the world, honor for ourselves, the nice job with prestige, the nice salary, so we can have the big bank account, we can have the nice vehicles, we can live in a nice house, so we can have nice friends. He knows that we're far too likely to do these things. Now, as I've said, there's nothing wrong with having these things in and of themselves. What really matters is whether or not they have hold of you, whether they have taken hold of your heart. We are far too apt to let this happen and deceive ourselves into thinking that we are really doing the things that we do for God's glory, when in fact we're doing them for our own. Jesus knows that we struggle in this area, and so He tells us, stop laying up treasures for yourself on earth. Instead, He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't labor for the meat that perishes, Jesus says. Labor for spiritual gain. Labor for God's glory. Treasure the things that are in heaven. Let those things be the things that have hold of your heart. Set your heart on those. These are the things that are truly profitable for you. Now, this brings us to the second point. Why should we store up our treasures in heaven rather than on earth? Well, Jesus gives us two reasons. One we've already looked slightly at. The first one is the obvious one. First of all, consider how much better the treasures in heaven are than those on the earth. Jesus tells us the treasures that you can lay up on earth are liable to all different kinds of things. If you have nice clothes, they can be eaten by moths. If you have clothes that are made of wool, you can almost guarantee that those moths are going to get in there and get a hold of them. If you have nice houses, they can become run down. You know that they can. You work all this time to try to keep them up. Nice cars, the paint becomes oxidized, the metal rusts, the motors wear out. A nice job can be lost. Prestige can come to an end. A bank account can become depleted. And sometimes before these things even have a chance to wear out, thieves will come and take them away from you. But you see, the things in heaven are not liable to these dangers. There are no moths in heaven. And even if there were, there's nothing that they could eat. There's no decay, no oxidation, and no rust. Everything remains as perfectly as the day the Lord created them. And certainly no one in heaven can take away the things that you have there. For one thing, the Bible says no thief shall ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? The Bible also says no one who is there will ever turn to stealing, because they are all made perfect forever. The things that you have in heaven, you will be able to retain forever. Now, I don't think that Jesus means by this that we are actually going to have possessions in heaven, such as clothes that will wear out, or houses to live in, or things that fill our rooms, possessions to either have or not have. I think he's simply using a figure of speech. In heaven, we won't need these things. We will have robes of righteousness, but even those, I think, are symbolic. Exactly what they are, we don't know. What our clothing will be like. But I don't think we're necessarily going to be living in houses. Certainly, if we did, they would not run down. The treasures that Jesus is speaking of here, the treasures that we are to lay up in heaven, are much greater than anything we could imagine. They're of a spiritual nature, a spiritual quality. They are the rewards of communion with the Father, communion with the Son, through the Holy Spirit. The communion that we'll share with the saints and the angels in heaven as we love each other with a perfect love, and as we express our love perfectly toward God and He expresses His love toward us. The things in heaven will be much more precious than the things on earth. The treasures in heaven are perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect blessedness. It's more of a state rather than simply possessions to be held onto by us. Do you know that happiness, true happiness, is really what the world is seeking after all, isn't it? But the problem is the world will never find it because they are looking in the wrong places. They are looking toward those corruptible things which will never bring lasting joy. And the other thing is, of course, they will never turn to the Lord unless God first turns them to Him. Because by nature they hate God. They hate the one, the only one, who can actually bring true peace and joy into their lives. So first Jesus tells us to consider the quality of the possessions, to show us that we should not treasure the things upon the earth, but rather the things of heaven. But now the second reason he gives us is far more sobering. He says in verse 21, "Don't you know that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? If you treasure up the things in this world, if they are the things that you really love, then your heart will still be in bondage to this world. But if you store up your treasure in heaven, if that is what you desire, then your heart has been captivated by heaven." Jesus is saying, don't you realize that the real issue here is your heart rather than the possessions themselves? Now, you've probably heard the saying that one man's meat is another man's poison, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And why is this? It's because of a difference in their hearts. Their hearts will dictate what it is they desire, what it is they find beautiful and lovely. It's all a matter of the heart. The heart dictates what it is that the eye will desire. And I think that's exactly why Jesus says in the next two verses, in 22 and 23, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." I believe Jesus is using the analogy of physical sight to show us something of what this heart problem is. If you have two good eyes, or even one, if they are sound, Jesus says, and you can see clearly through them, then your whole body will be filled with light. That is, you will have the knowledge your eyes will bring you, so you can go where you want to go and get the things done you want to get done. But on the other hand, if your eye is bad, if you're blind, and you can't see anything, then your whole body is full of darkness, and you won't be able to see where you're going. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to spiritual matters. There is also the eye of the understanding, There is the spiritual understanding, spiritual sight. And that sight, or that mind that God gives us, is determined by our hearts. We talk about how our eye desires something. What that means is that in our hearts, we want something. Our eyes are looking for them and desire those things. Jesus is saying spiritually, if your eye is good, if it's clear, because you have a good heart, then your understanding will be directed toward the things of the truth, the things that are good and right. You will be directed to the things of the Lord. But if your heart is bad, then your eye will be seeking after the things which are bad, and it will fill you with darkness or with sin. It's an issue of the heart. And Jesus warns that if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If there is no light in you because your heart is bad and because you are directing your thoughts toward everything which is evil, how great is that darkness? Again, this is a warning to us not to desire the things of the world, but rather to desire the things of heaven. To have our hearts so changed by the grace of God that it will direct our thoughts, our attention, our spiritual sight, as it were, to the truth. That our bodies may be full of light and that we may know the truth, walk in the truth. If we do this, then we will be storing up treasures in heaven. That will be our desire. Now, really, the bottom line is what Jesus says in this concluding verse, in verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Jesus is telling us that we cannot have treasures in both places. It's impossible. Our hearts cannot be divided. They may only be set on one thing or the other. Now understand that Jesus does not mean here that it's impossible for you to serve two who are in authority over you. I mean, we know that that's possible. Certainly, we can love and serve the Father, and we can love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly, those of us who are under other authorities can honor and respect both of those authorities. Think about you ladies who are married here this morning. You are to love and serve God, but the Lord also tells you that you are to submit to your husbands. Can you not do both? Well, of course you can. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What he is saying is that you cannot have two who are ruling over your hearts, who have mastered your affections, at the same time, especially if they are so diverse as heaven and the world, as God and the devil. You know that when something has mastered your affections, when something has taken hold of your hearts, that you don't allow anything to get between you and the object of your love. You won't allow it. Martin Luther once wrote this about the things that people love. He says, "What a man loves, that is his God. For he carries it in his heart. He goes about with it night and day. He sleeps and wakes with it. Be it what it may, wealth or riches, pleasure or renown." Now, what will a man do to that which threatens to come between him and his God? He will hate it. He will despise it. That's why Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. You will either love the one and hate the other, or cling to one and despise the other. When your heart becomes united with it, you will not allow yourself to be separated from it. But this is exactly the danger of laying up treasures on earth, because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If the things you treasure are on earth, the Bible says, then you cannot love God. You will not love God, because God tells you to get rid of those things. And if they are your treasure, your true treasure, you won't do it. You won't get rid of them. The Lord Jesus tells you that you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon represents the riches of this world, the best that this world has to offer you. If you long for this in your life, and spend your life seeking after it. You may get it. You may lay hold of it, even for the short period of time that you might in this world. But in the end, you will lose God. You may only serve one God. And if you ever hope to attain to heaven, that God has to be the true God. He has to be first in your life. He will not put up with any idols. This is why Jesus tells you this morning to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, because if your treasure is there, your heart will be there also. Well, now the question arises, how does someone set their hearts on heaven if their hearts are already entangled in the things on earth? How can someone make themselves love that which they are not really inclined toward? That which they find no inclination in their hearts to love? Well, the answer is, humanly speaking, it can't be done. We all come into this world loving the things of the world. We come into the world treasuring those things. That's why we see the people of the world spending all their time and energy striving after the things of the world, because that is where their heart is at. But they are unable, in and of themselves, to change their hearts. They can't do it. Only God can turn a man's heart towards Him. And so if your heart has been mastered by the world, if your life shows that it has, because you are laying up your treasures here rather than in heaven, then you need to turn to the only one who is able to turn your heart to heaven. You need to cry out to the Lord and seek for His mercy to do exactly that. We must pray and ask Him to give you His Holy Spirit to make you willing and able to turn from the things of the world and to turn unto the things of the Lord. Reach out to Him. Seek after Him. Ask Him to save you. The Lord is the only one who can. The Lord is gracious and He is kind. And He will not refuse anyone who sincerely comes to Him. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, for those of you who already love the Lord Jesus, how can you do this practically? How can you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Well, we've already seen several different ways. Jesus says you can sell your possessions and give to the poor. You can do acts of charity. You can fast and pray that God's will would be done, and that He would be glorified on earth even as He is glorified in heaven. You can use your time and your talents to serve the Lord. And you can seek to do everything that you do for God's glory rather than your own. You know, if you want to lay up treasures in heaven, you don't even have to set aside time necessarily to do specific religious acts, although you should do that. But you can even take your lives, everything you do, and do it as an act of worship to God. The way you conduct yourself in your household, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your wives and husbands, the way you work on the job. If you do everything that you do because you love the Lord and want to give Him glory, and you seek to do those things the way that He has told you that He wants you to do them, that also is laying up your treasures in heaven. You have your eye towards heaven in everything that you do. And all you're seeking for is to get from here to there and to give God the most glory that you possibly can in this life. Jesus says, if you love Me, you will keep My commandments. This is how we may show Him that we love Him, by obeying Him and seeking His glory in everything that we do. This is the only way for us to lay up treasures in heaven rather than treasures upon the earth. You know that for every act of obedience, for every act of real love that we show toward God in respect to Him, we are laying up treasures that God is going to reward us with on that final day. And those are things that we will have forever and ever in heaven. God will reward us many times over. And Jesus tells us that if we do this, We don't need to concern ourselves with anything else. God will provide for all of those other needs. We'll see that this evening. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these other treasures, all these other things of the world that you need, God will supply those things. Don't worry about that. Instead, seek to put your treasures in heaven. The Bible says that those who love the world will perish with the world, but those who love the Father will live and reign with Him forever in His eternal kingdom. May God grant that all of us here this morning may love Him and serve Him and seek Him, that we may reign with Him forever and with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, You know our weaknesses. You know how easy it is for us to get our eyes down upon the things of the world and to forget about the things which are above. We get so worried about perfecting everything that's down here, about our comforts down here, and we forget that we're really on our way out of this world. We really live here only a very short time, very short. We don't have time to play with the things of the world. We don't have time to settle in here. We know that our Lord calls us to have our treasures in heaven. And so we pray, dear God, that we may take our hands off of all these other things, that our hearts would be severed and removed from all the other treasures that we may have on this earth, and that our affections would become wrapped up and bound together with the things in heaven, especially our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, God, help us to love You more. Our Father, give us the grace to cling to You, to love You, to serve You. Help us to obey our Lord Jesus, He who died on the cross, to buy us unto Himself. May He be our greatest treasure, our greatest glory. Lord, help us, we pray. And we'll thank You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.